Ryan, tell me about the Cape Girardeau, Missouri case, 1941. What have you uncovered there?
Well, this goes back to Leonard Stringfield, who originally published the Charlotte Mann story, who's the granddaughter of Reverend Huffman. And Reverend Huffman was a Baptist minister living in Cape Girardeau in 1941, and he was asked to come to the scene of an airplane crash, but when he got there, it was not an airplane crash, but a crashed saucer, sort of more of an acorn-like shape, more like Kecksburg, mm-hmm. that was broken open and had two ET bodies in one area and one set off to the other side, hieroglyphic markings inside the craft and a burned area. And he was asked to give blessings to the ETs, and he did that. And then the military came and swore everybody to secrecy and carted everything off. But there was quite a number of witnesses there. So we have documents that talk about a crash. Some of the Leak Majestic documents talk about a crash in Missouri in 1941. We have the testimony of Charlotte Mann, who's the granddaughter of Reverend Huffman, given to her on a deathbed confession of Reverend Huffman's wife, Flo Huffman. And that forms sort of the kernel of believability. And then you have some second-tier witnesses, the brother of the sheriff, Clarence Shady, remembers a story like this, and there's a couple other people that are alive today that remember, you know, rumors like this. You know, I would not give them high credibility, but they remember stories like this back in the 40 time frame or 41.
You know, I as I was mentioning, I'd go to Cape Girardeau for my son's college.
Uh-huh.
I mean, is it specific enough to know where this thing crashed?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is sort of. We know that Reverend Huffman was driven 15 minutes, 20 minutes outside of town, and he had gone west. If you go east, you go across the Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
and there's a limited number of roads. We know that he went in like a quarter of a mile off the road. So it's a bounded problem. I have looked at, I've used dowsers, I've used intuitives, I've looked at historical aerial photography. The whole place was overflown in 1941 in October with 9-inch stereo negatives that you could pour through. So if I had like a couple weeks and $4,000 or $5,000, I could get all the stereos blown up and get real serious and real accurate about finding this scar in the earth and the area, the exact location. And then once you have the exact location, it's game over. It's time to go in and look with the metal detectors and find evidence that I think is still there, because they, you know, by Roswell time, I think they had gotten their act together.
Well, you know, because of the significance of the alleged crash, you would think the area would have been scoured by now, and it really hasn't.
No, and I think that's the case with a lot of crashes. That it's one thing to, you're assigned this task of clean up the area, spend a couple days at it, and look around and make sure you get everything. But you know how these archaeologists work nowadays. They grid off everything and dig down the next meter. And they sift through every single thing to try to find a shard. And I think there's loads of shards left at a lot of these crash sites. And for the military to clandestinely try to go back and do a full-on next-level archaeological scouring is just not feasible and would simply draw a lot of attention.